Australian Bible Church, July 5th, 2014. For the second Sunday, we're looking at Psalm 18. One more messianic message. What is a messianic message? The term Messiah is used in the Hebrew, and it means the person anointed, selected by God for a task. And it comes to mean the one that God would send. The Father would send the Son, who is the Word of God who expresses him. And he would take a body in the womb, and there would be the Son of God, the only Son of God that was begotten, that was born of a woman. This was so that that man, as a man, could take the punishment that man deserves, everyone who should accept him, and the thing should be blotted out. That's the Messiah. In the Psalms, of which there are 150, there are a lot which deal with the Messiah. You must remember the Psalms were written about 1000 BC, which is about 3000 years ago, long before Jesus ever came to earth. And these Psalms, therefore, give us the word that Christ will come. It said, this is how he'll die, with his hands pierced. This is why he'll die, for the sin of the people. This is where he'll be born, in Bethlehem. This is when he'll die, about AD 30. All this was predicted. And when he came, he was identified by this prophetic identity kit. Psalm 18 is one of these psalms. Others include 2, 16, 22, 35, 45, 72, 69, and 110, for example. Now, the first part of this is not our work today, we did it last week, but just to remind and refresh. Here in Psalm 18, there is a cry. There's a cry to God. Someone is in trouble. Notice verse 3 of chapter of Psalm 18. I will call upon the Lord. If you're in trouble, do that. Call upon the Lord. Much more important than calling the cops, though you may select the cops for a particular case. Always call on the Lord. Never fail to post that. Much more immediate than any contact with cell phones and so on. So I shall be saved from my enemies. That's faith. I shall be saved. How does he know? By faith. And then he tells the trouble. Death was around him. Floods of ungodliness. Hell seemed to be grasping at him. Verse 6, in his distress he called upon the Lord. He cried to his God. And God heard him from his temple. He heard him from heaven. The earth shook. Now here we see an expression over a few verses of the most immense geological character. So the whole of the earth was exposed by divine power, that he went to the very elemental foundations and shook it. It means that God being God, when he's roused, there's no limit. When he is roused, there is no limit. And it says these things, a devouring fire. Verse 9, he bowed down the heavens, and he rode upon a cherub. From the brightness before him, there came there were hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord thundered, verse 13, from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent his arrows, lightnings. But then, see, then the channels of the sea were seen, the foundations of the world were uncovered. But then, look at this delicious verse. Psalm 18, get this into the heart. Verse 16. Here you are in waters and troubles and trials and upsets with enemies and hatred. And what do? You call. And what does he do? Verse 16. He sent from above. I always find that. People act as though you're hereditary and your environment and your income and your education, and that's you. Rubbish. I wouldn't care to be alive without having God above to whom I can refer. So it says, he sent from above. Always I look for something from above. Well, in the midst of trouble below, why not? He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy. He sent from above. Don't act as though you don't have your diving helmet connected up to the air above. And so we've been looking at that, and now we come to verse 43. We've been seeing the power that's to be given to the Messiah, as we find that he is, in bringing peace to the earth and power to his people, changing the whole earth till peace, not murder, reigns. Then, look at verse 43. What do we learn from this? You have delivered me from the strivings of the people, yes. You have made me the head of the nations. Nowhere in the Bible is anyone ever going to rule the nations. God actually says that every kingdom will be overthrown, because one only person will rule the nations from the beginning in the Psalms and to the end. Who is that person? The Messiah. Who is the Messiah? Jesus Christ, anointed and appointed. So, you have made me the head of the nations. That is Christ speaking 1,000 years before he came to earth. The people I have not known will serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. How could that happen? How could people be willing to follow Christ? You remember when he was healing? People were coming in thousands. He could hardly move. He had to get into a boat so they wouldn't crush him. Because he healed them of incurable diseases, as far as we're concerned. So they came in their thousands, and he healed them. On one particular occasion, you remember, some people were so keen that they took up the roof and let the man down in front of Jesus. And Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven." Who do you think you are? The man's sins are forgiven? God only can forgive sins, that's true. But it so happens that Jesus is the Son of God, is God, God the sent. God the Father is the sender, Christ is the sent, and the Spirit is the one that applies it. And so he said, all right, notice the test, T-E-S-T. Christ said to them, so that you may know that he has the power to forgive sins, watch this. Which is easier, to say, I forgive you, or to say to a man that has paralysis and can't walk, pick up your bed and walk. Which is easier? He says to the man, pick up your bed and walk. Jesus Christ would have been uninteresting and a failure unless what he said always happened. If someone says, I am God, you say, righto, prove it, show it. So Christ says, righto, I will. Pick up your bed and walk, he says to this man paralyzed. He picks up his bed and he walks. And this happened many times, including raising from the dead. So he's shown, just as Elijah had shown, by test, what this case was. They received him willingly, as soon as they hear of him. That's the case with many. How can it be that as soon as you hear of him, with many cases, you believe him? Well, I'd like to put a picture to you. Let's take an image. What is man like? He's like, you know, the valleys and the mountains where you have a big hill, a big mountain, and in between two mountains there'll be what? What will flow between two big mountains which you've got ice on top when the heat of summer comes? Water will flow. Why? Because the ice melts. So the water comes, sometimes it comes down in torrents, carving deeper and deeper into a valley. Man is like that valley. We're up in the snowfields, there's the valley. But the water can't get through. The valley is blocked. The water is not powerful enough to overcome this huge blockage. If you could think of the water as a person, the water would be saying, how can I get through? This blockage is stopping me all the time. I've got all this adventure down here in all those countries. This block won't let me through. Christ comes along and said, I can remove the blockage. Now, why would someone be so quick to receive him? Could you? That's what I want. Would you? Certainly. I've done it for thousands. Let me do it for you. And so he removes the block. And people have been petulant, impatient, and upset. Ah! It flows. It flows. Life flows. How marvelous. It doesn't take much sometimes to destabilize a blockage, to remove it. It just, this is holding it and that. But if you know what you're doing, the blockage could be removed. Christ knew what he was doing. When he died for sin, he removed the blockage for the power of God so that the power of God could come right through to you, operate on you, like a surgeon on your body, this on your soul. Now Christ, therefore, having paid, and I want you to look at these three S's. He is a substitutionary. sacrificial Savior. That's near the bottom of page 6. What is a substitute? All right, here's a case. Here are the Nazis. Here's a guy with a gun. Here are a whole lot of people he's going to kill. He says, right, I'm going to kill every second one of you people. There's a father, and next to him is the son. The father says, my son, they'll kill you. My son, quickly change places. I'll die instead of you. They change places. The father, who is old, is killed, and the son is alive. The father was a substitute for the son. He took his place. And so, therefore, a substitutionary sacrifice, somebody sacrifices himself, gives his life for somebody else in his place. So Jesus is a sacrificial, substitutionary Savior. If you would look for a moment at Romans 6.23, it's put so simple. Romans 6.23. If you work, you get paid. If you sin, that's work. So, if you want to work for it, you'll be paid. The wages of sin. What are you paid for working at sin? It's one word. It begins with D and ends in TH. Death is the payment. But the gift of God, we've been talking about the gift, is eternal life. It's a gift. You have to receive it, though. If your uncle sends you a check for $10,000 and you tear it up, you put it in the fire, you stamp it on the foot, I won't take anything from any uncle of mine. Well, then, of course, the payment doesn't come your way. You don't get it. You could refuse to receive a gift. Too big. Too important. And so that's what it is as this blockage is removed and the Messiah... Remember, we knew it was the Messiah because he will rule all nations and there's no one else who will. And then in verse 46, the Lord lives. They delivered him to a tomb. They couldn't keep him there. The guards are horrified. They could lose their lives if the prisoner escapes. Here he is in this tomb. Death covers him. He's finished. He's wrecked. He hardly looks human, it says. And there he is, a massacred mess, a murdered man, hardly recognizable as human. And he's there. And the guards are there, and the big boulder is there. And what happens? The guards are there, got to watch this man. He lies on this, trial here. But there's a big earthquake. And the stone, which is a big boulder requiring massive effort, is rolled away. The guards don't know what to do. It's like having an accident in a car. Their thoughts are amazed. We can't do anything. There's an earthquake. The thing's rolled. He's gone! He's gone! It's very easy. He just walked away. He went off carried by his own feet, as it were. He was gone. So what happens? They go and they tell the high priests who wanted that Christ dead so they could take over from God, in effect. What happened? We don't know it. It wasn't our fault. The priests see what's happened. This Christ that could raise the dead is raised. They say, look, we'll give you some dough. We'll give you some money. Don't tell anybody, and we'll give you the money, right? Lip sealed, money in the pocket, right? So they do that. There was nothing else they could do. The idea that Jesus had escaped, had broken death, was too horrible. And so they paid. But who was the other person who paid? Christ. He also paid. He paid with his life, and since he is God, he couldn't be kept down, so he just broke death and dealt with it once and for all. I personally just love such things as you find in 1 Corinthians. I absolutely delight in them. In 1 Corinthians 15. Now, verse 50. I tell you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. The corruptible cannot inherit incorruption. I tell you a mystery. We shall all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. The dead, the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. What does incorruptible mean? What does it mean to corrupt something? To ruin it, to spoil it, to wreck it, so it's no longer any good. That's corrupting. What does it mean to be incorruptible? It means you can't ruin it. You can't spoil it. It will go on whatever you do. Nothing can stop it. So you'll be raised incorruptible. It's good not to be corrupted. It's better not to be able to be corrupted. That is incorruptible. I delight in this. For this corruptible flesh must put on incorruption that can't be spoiled. That's what I want. Live forever with flesh that cannot be corrupted, not possible. And this mortal, what's mortal mean? Something that can die. We'll get immortality. What's that mean? Something that can't die. It doesn't matter what happens. You cannot die when this happens. Your body may go, it'll be resurrected, but you will go straight on with the God who made you in the first place. These, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God. Our lives should be filled with thanks for the victory through Jesus Christ. All the big questions are dealt with long ago. It's just a question of getting on with living under the cover and the power and the comradeship of Christ. In John, we read, to as many as received him, to as many as received him, he gave them the authority to become sons of God. If he was passing by now, he'd say, do you receive me? Good, I give you authority to become a child of God. You will live forever. As many as received him, John 1:12, to them he gave eternal life. Received. And so it comes back, as many as heard him. Some of them immediately answered, because that's just what I need. So they received him, and it was done. I might say that someone in this congregation received the Lord when he was 3 years old. And I found that children, quite young children, can sometimes come more readily than adults. And so it goes on to talk of the great deliverance in verse 50. Great deliverance. Therefore let our lives be filled with praise, with joy, with victory. Something comes you cannot handle. Who could handle this? Right. That's a beautiful case. You don't say, I can't handle this. Poor me. I'm a wreck. I shall be sad. Of course not. You say, this is exciting. God is able to deliver me. I'll ask him. God, please deliver me. I can't handle this. I personally say to myself, this is exciting. I wonder how my father will do it. I can't see any way. And he does. And so we get in the conclusion of the whole matter, this matter. Great deliverance, verse 50. He shows mercy to his anointed. Unfortunately, the version that we had read from at the last line or two has to David and his descendants. The authorized version is correct there. It has to David and his seed. The word is seed and it's singular, just seed. If you look at Galatians, you find that they actually stress this particular point. Not seeds, it says, just one seed. That's Galatians 3, 15 to 18. And in that we find this. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men. There is only a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. To Abraham and his seed, singular seed, where the promise is given. He doesn't say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, which is Christ. That is the whole point. From Genesis 3:15, it was a child of the woman. Not children who would do the job. So remember that there is no other seed, there is no other spirit, there is no other gospel, there is no other Lord, there is no other sacrifice, there is no other Savior, there is no other counselor, there is no other power, but God who has opened his face, shown his power, controlled history by predicting all that should happen. We mentioned the death date of Christ, and the manner of his death, and the reason for his death, and the place of his birth, and all the rest of it. There's no one to compete. I have looked for years and years, in the past 60 odd years, nothing anywhere is testable. For such things as God only could produce, there is nil competition Christ is Lord. And we finish with the verse we were learning. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for that seed, that singular seed, that singularity, which is the sovereign God come to earth as man, that he might bring us back to God. How glorious to be brought back. Grant us the hearts to love thee and follow thee and being brought back, to look forward to the day when this mortal that can die will be made immortal that can't. And this corruptible that can be hurt will be made incorruptible that can't. What a destiny. How we delight in thee and how we thank thee and save thee and praise thee and thank thee for this unspeakable gift in Jesus' name. Amen.